Homily for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, July 17th, 2022, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. Officially, St. Isidore, a layman from Spain in the 11th century, is the patron saint of those employed in agriculture, but St. Martha is my dad's patron saint. I'm absolutely sure of it. Growing up in a German from Russia family on our farm in Logan County, we learned all about life as seen through the eyes of Martha. Every day there seemed to be more work to do than there were hours in the day to do it. There was grass to mow in the summer, when it rained, that is, and snow to shovel in the winter. There was a barn to be cleaned, crops to plant and harvest, fences to mend, and twice a day, every single day, those infernal cows to be milked. Martha was the kind of person on the farm who would know what had to be done beforehand and would get started on it by her own initiative, without needing anyone else to tell her. She'd wake up before the sunrise in both summer and winter with no need for an alarm clock. What's not to love about Martha? In our farm family, one Mary was enough, but even 10 Marthas wouldn't have been too many. We find the story about the two sisters, Mary and Martha, so engaging because it mirrors a mini-drama that we see played out in our own lives, whether it be in our families, our workplaces, or elsewhere. And most of us find ourselves rooting for one sister or the other. I could just picture my parents protesting the moment they hear Jesus say, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things." "You're doggone right," they would have said. "Is that floor going to sweep itself? Will the dishes wash themselves? What kind of dump would that place turn into without her?" The Marthas of the world need to guard against the sin of pride. They can easily boast that this place would just fall to pieces without me. Or when seeing something in disorder, they might say, "If only these other people cared as much as I do." Martha can be quick to assign blame and make harsh accusations, as though she has nothing for which to ask for forgiveness. Martha represents the industrious attitude of people who keep things running here and now. Think of Sarah in today's first reading, flying around the kitchen to prepare an impromptu meal for these mysterious guests who dropped by. People like Sarah, Abraham, and Martha identify tasks and complete them. Mary, on the other hand, represents the rest and contemplation awaiting us in the afterlife. But the bottom line is that in our own lives, there ought to be room for both Mary and Martha. For example, the third commandment's injunction against working on the Sabbath gives us a taste of what's in store for us. In heaven, we will have escaped the burdens of toil and labor, and Sunday rest reminds us of those gifts to come. Moreover, God calls us to dedicate time in prayer and worship on Sunday, returning thanks to Him who is the source of all that we have. We all know people who may feel a little awkward if they were here with us at church. It's not just a matter of guilt regarding personal sins. For many of them, they've so completely changed the Lord's day into one other weekday. They are unable to prevent the routine of work and shopping from calling out to them. And since all they can think of is whatever else they could be doing at that moment, if they were to come to Mass Sunday morning, they may likely wonder why they're here at all. In the process, that part of their souls, to be reserved as a temple for the Holy Spirit, is neglected and shrivels up. The still small voice of Christ becomes lost amid the noise of their lives. When Martha dropped everything on the Sabbath day, it was a necessary part of her life because it prevented her from turning the world into one monotonous cycle. And when Mary lives with someone like her sister Martha, she gets a friendly shove once in a while to do her share and earn her daily bread, rather than to violate justice by depending on others to support her. But only one or the other of these two people gives us part of the picture of the church instead of a more complete view. Here's another way to look at this. It's essential for Christians to see the solidarity and relationship between those in the laity and those in the religious life. As a priest, I'm not in competition with you. Holy Mother Church expects and requires me to put in a significant amount of time and prayer. This is both a joy and a duty for me. Your expectation is to be like Mary when you attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation, as well as giving God moments of each day in prayer. But to be like Martha the rest of the week and not be ashamed of it, unless one is advanced in age or in ill health. People count on you to do what you need to do. Your life is yours and not mine. Specifically, think of cloistered contemplative sisters like our dear Carmelites down in Wahpeton or Trappist monks. Their lives are theirs and not ours. They received the call to that particular lifestyle from God. Depriving these men and women of the gift that they give us does not gain us anything. So what if they're not pounding the pavement or in the general public like the rest of us? Thanks to their prayers and sacrifices, God dispenses graces to us from his treasury of merits. Woe to us if we fail to see these gifts or consider their vocation to be useless. Developing an interior spiritual life, a life of prayer, is for everyone. It's not something left up to the professionals. All of us hunger and thirst for God and need an intimate relationship with him to sustain us. In this life, we often have to be like Martha. But let's make sure that we leave room for Mary, too. Amen.